Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Welcome to the Wednesday evening edition of our programming.
As opposed to all the other evening editions that we do?
I'm just worried that people have forgotten that we changed our time, Jocelyn. Because it's 8 o'clock. It's a much better time for everybody involved in the show, mainly you and I.
Agreed.
So, it's just kind of like, where is everybody and why aren't you listening to our sultry tones?
I know. I need to get better about like promoting and tweeting. I mentioned it on Angry Chicken that we changed our time, but for the most part, yeah, I need to be more like, hey, guys, remember? We're not just skipping the show every Wednesday night. We are just delaying by an hour because it just makes so much more sense with, you know, people's work schedules and baby sleep schedules and such. So
yeah, Caden's asleep. He's down for the count for the evening already. We got it down.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Where is it? 7 o'clock. Like 7 o'clock is prime baby sleeping time, putting to sleep type.
Yeah. You got to kind of like give him what he needs in order for him to sleep. So, you know, 7 o'clock is that like normal giving him stuff like burps and feedings. I don't know. I just work here. I don't really know what's going on.
So, yes, we have changed our time. We are doing it live at 8 p.m. We're seeing how it works. If the audience doesn't like it, then perhaps we'll change it back. But it does seem to work the best for Ryan and I. So if you do like to watch Gamers Inn live, you can do so at twitch.tv/amovetv every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you are tuning in for stories about what we're playing. Ryan, what are you playing this week? Because you seem to have some super big, awesome news.
Oh, man, I am so excited. I have been infected by the Blizzard-ness that Jocelyn so had for years, years, you've been telling me all I played was these Blizzard games. Ryan, please tell me you played something that isn't made by a company named after a terrible weather syndrome. And it's like, yes, I have. But this week, no. I've been playing Heroes of the Storm almost constantly. Every chance I get, I am in there. And it's all thanks to that anniversary. I almost said stupid. It's an amazing bundle, the anniversary bundle that they put up for the 1 year anniversary of the Nexus. It's like, it was $20 for me. All I had was Artanis. So that was a steal. I think it's like a 75% discount. And
yeah, it's something crazy.
Yeah. And the heroes you get in it, I should have pulled it up because I kind of just bought it sight unseen because there was a lot of newer heroes, mainly ones that had been released in the last year, like Zul, Uther, I think. Uther, I don't know.
I'm trying to remember who was in it because I bought it very late into Ladies' Night.
I remember that.
Because I wanted Tyrael's Charger, which is one of my favorite mounts in Warcraft. It's inspired by Diablo, and I love it so much. And then, so basically, they took the Tyrael's Charger mount from Warcraft and put it into Heroes, and it's such a gorgeous mount. It's this, like, blue and gold armored horse, but then it has, like, the cool Tyrael wings on it.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. And so I got the mount, and then I think there were only two heroes on that list that I didn't actually own. And so the whole thing, I think it was three heroes and a mount, or maybe two heroes, a skin and a mount. One way or another, it ended up costing me $8. So I was like, yeah.
It's a steal, and especially for those like me who haven't been in there buying a lot of heroes, I'm kind of a cheap bastard when it comes to free-to-play games. Like, I will wait for the free-to-play rotation. I will play the hero like crazy, then I'll move on to the next. Of course, I have my go-to characters, which we'll get to in a bit, but yeah, $20 for me. The characters you got were Arthas, Siege Lady, the tank girl from StarCraft. I can't remember her name.
Sergeant Hammer.
Yeah, I was close, right? Siege Lady?
Siege Lady, Sergeant Hammer, same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Morales, which is awesome. Uther, Zul, the Butcher, which I've never played yet, and Kerrigan. Yeah, Kerrigan and Artanis. So not all characters that came in the first year. Some of these were in during beta, but yeah, Tyrael's Charger, like you mentioned, and then a bonus 7-day stim pack. So I've been infected by the stim pack. Basically, it's like that ticking time bomb up in the top corner that tells you you've got 7 days left to play this game and actually be worth a damn because you're actually getting a good amount of XP.
Oh my God. And I've got to say, so I, until about a month ago, had never used a stim pack. Uh-huh. And then I believe it was Swexist who actually gave me money to purchase a stim pack. I can't even remember what it was exactly that I was working on XP for. It might have been just to get to level 40 because I wasn't at level 40. And so he donated money to the stream to get me to buy a stim pack, and I did. And now I don't know how I ever played the game without it because and it's really unfortunate because obviously I don't want to pay to get the amount of experience I feel that I should get. And then at the same time, I've been working on Master Diablo for freaking ever. And it just feels like I've been stuck at level 9. And when you play a game and you get 500,000 experience because you have a stim pack and your little gauge goes up like literally this much. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, man.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
It gets really frustrating past about level 7, I think. And I have so many characters now that are sitting at level 7 because I'm just like, I'd rather try a new hero and play around and have fun than just grind all the way to master. So I literally have nothing mastered, even though I love Diablo. Diablo is bae.
Yeah, you are rocking it with Diablo. We played one game at the end of Ladies Night, and I jumped in. I was up crazy late. I can't explain why. I don't know what's happened to me, but I've sort of got this like bug in my ear to be like, I'm gonna stay up past midnight and play video games after Jocelyn's done playing video games because I'm crazy. But if you're
staying up past me, dude, that is too late.
It's a problem.
You have a job and a child.
I do, but you know, they're taken care of, like they don't complain.
That's good.
Yeah, so that's the main thing. But I've just been really enjoying going in there playing games, and the stim pack on top of the group XP bonus on top of the event XP bonus, it's kind of the perfect time to own a stim pack. And I'm kind of glad. I might actually go in and buy another 7-day stim pack to kind of last throughout the rest of the event, because I feel like combining all those together. Well, maybe not. Like, I'm not going to be that guy.
You, I had the first stim pack essentially donated to me.
Sure.
And I have not let it lapse since because, like, every time I log in now, it's been like, I think I've purchased it probably 3 times on my own. So it's been just over a month because I purchased one at the start of last night, not realizing there was one included in the bundle. And then so I was like, well, what happens when I purchase the bundle? And so now I've got 14 days, so I won't have to buy it next week. But, man, it's like, because it always pops up because I bought it on a Tuesday and it says like you have 1 hour remaining on your stim pack or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, okay, so I have 1 hour remaining on my stim pack, but Ladies Night is like multiple hours. I should probably have the stim pack all the way through Ladies Night because this is when I play. And so then I end up buying a stim pack and then I only play on Tuesdays and then I get to the next Tuesday.
So you're kind of it's a perpetual
terrible cycle.
What is a 7-day stim pack? Like $5, is it, I think?
Not even. It's like $2.99 or $3.99, I think. So it feels like almost like a nothing purchase.
Yeah, that's not too bad. And
but you're paying to play a free-to-play game.
Yeah, but you're supporting a developer and a game that you very much enjoy. I mean, I don't see it as paying to play a free-to-play game. I say it's, and this is where I've kind of come full circle. It's you're playing. You're paying for a game that you really enjoy just in small increments every once in a while.
Instead of spending like $60 when I originally purchased it, I guess. But at the same time, I've spent so much money on bundles because of cool skins or new heroes or whatever. So, and Leo is telling me what I already know. If for 30 days, it's $10, and it would clearly be better to buy a month. But every time, I just say, this is the last time. I'm not doing it again. And then every week, I log in, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't think I could do the 30 days because I've been playing a lot in the last week, mainly because I've been trying to take advantage of all the XP bonus and get enough for Hero League, which I've amassed enough characters at level 5. I'm not good at all of them, but with the stim pack and all the other bonuses, you just literally have to lose 3 matches and you've got a level 5 hero.
It's really true, yeah.
It's very easy.
I don't really know why they why they implemented that, because it's not, I guess it's a little bit, because you, how many heroes did you have to have?
14, not including Chogall.
Okay, so I guess it's significant enough that it's probably going to deter some people from smurfing, because if you've got to play 30, 42, Joss does math, 42 games mm-hmm. before you can get into Hero League, then I can see how that would be a deterrent for a smurf.
Plus you have to own those heroes, and you don't, yes. you start with one hero, you start with, or you don't start with any heroes, you just start with whatever's free, right?
I thought that there was one hero, I thought it was Raynor, but you may not, that might have been a launch perk. I can't remember.
Yeah, there's definitely some perks in there, like if you already own Diablo, you get Diablo and Vala, I think. Or anyways, it's weird.
Vala was definitely originally a pre-order bonus for Diablo 3, I believe. Actually, not Diablo 3, would have been
Reaper.
Yes, yeah. The expansion.
Yeah,
Jim is currently confirming in the chat room no free heroes. So
okay, so just whatever's on the free rotation, just you don't get a free hero. But that's the only reason I've really been playing. I figured I'd take advantage of it, and I wanted to boost my roster of heroes, so I jumped in and did that, and I'm very excited that I've done that. I got my master skin for Sylvanas, which is my most played hero, and she'd been sitting at like 9.5 for months, and I finally just went in and it didn't feel, it wasn't that much to actually get her to level 10 and unlock my master skin. I think it would be like 5 wins to like knock out that last half, so it went pretty quick with the group bonus and all that fun stuff. So mm-hmm. I nailed that, but I'm kind of excited for Hero League to kind of try the ranked mode, because I've never tried it yet. But then I realized that they're actually updating it like next week.
Yeah, I think they're changing it very. Is it literally next week?
Yeah, they say the week of the 14th, so patch day probably. So patch day would be the Tuesday. I'm already talking about patch day. That's how in I am. So you got patch day on the 14th, probably. Mm. And it, instead of 20 placement matches, it's 10 placement matches. So that's a little more doable. And then they have like the StarCraft rankings, like we talked about before, with the tiered levels and whatnot. So that's exciting. And I don't know, I never really understood ranked mode before. It kind of just seemed like a different way to play, but everybody just tries harder.
Yeah, I feel like isn't there some sort of bonus to getting like a mount or something to getting to a certain level in Hero League before they change it?
Yeah, so if you go in there and get a certain rank, I think it's a different type of elemental wolf.
Oh, okay.
But like the ranks are, we'll see, I haven't placed, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to do 20 matches before next Tuesday. But
challenge accepted.
You think so? I'd have to do it tonight, because I am out for the rest of the week and weekend. So although maybe
a combination of tonight and then Monday, we should mm-hmm. be able to do it.
Yeah, I think so, because Monday
I have nothing to do on Mondays.
Well, yeah.
Oh wait, I guess we've got E3. Well, but you're off E3. On Monday.
I am off.
So we could totally, like, I have to record early for Brace the Spoilers with Garrett, and then we have to record our live, is it Microsoft on Monday, I think?
It is Microsoft, yeah.
So, oh, and then at 9 p.m. we have Sony. Yeah, so we're going to have so much time to kill between Microsoft and Sony.
Like
we
9 hours.
We could just knock out our, because you can queue with one other person in Hero League, I think.
Does it turn into Team League, or is Team League?
Team League is 3, I think.
Oh, okay. Interesting. See, that's, I'm just, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure either, because I've also never done Hero League. I always just play Quick Match. So, but Hero League is a little bit different, because Hero League has, like, you have, like, picks and bans, and you have,
Really?
Yeah, there's picks and bans, and you know the map going in, so okay. you can pick heroes based on the map.
So, like what's a good comp or
whatever? I see, and this is the thing. This is what I don't know. So, I feel like if I went into Hero League, I would only Diablo. That's all I would do, because that's the only character that I feel comfortable with.
Would people ban Diablo? Is that a thing people would do?
I don't think so. I don't think he's powerful enough to get banned. And I feel like I'll just be like, well, if Diablo gets banned, then we just lose.
Rage quit.
Just
chalk it down as a, well,
although
we
I'm
tried.
Sure, excuse me, I'm sure if we're doing placement matches, though, we wouldn't be put up against people or put up like with people that are significantly like better, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully. Oh, God. See, this is why I don't hear a league. Now I'm all afraid. Well, I should do a Joss versus the World if you're a league.
Yeah, you probably
once there's
should.
A new, I probably should, actually, once there's a new kind of ranking system, because we did Quick Match and, like, just basically going into Heroes. So maybe we'll do another episode with Heroes. We're trying to get a Hearthstone episode together right now, and it's not quite working out, so.
Oh, you get there. You get there. But I think you're right. Like, once the new revamp comes in, that'll be a good opportunity to jump back in and say, okay, how does it work now? And then, you know, having some experience with the current current ranked play would be good as well. But the new system looks really cool and offers end of season rewards similar to Hearthstone, which is really neat. They don't really go into details as to what that would be, but they show, like, a new portrait. Here's a gold chest that would imply we're going to give you gold and maybe this mount, you know? So that's exciting and gives you a little more reason to go in there and play besides just progression. For progression's sake, and I think that's really neat. Although I would have liked to see, well, then I don't know, like, there isn't, like, in Hearthstone there isn't a non-ranked mode where you can earn prizes. I guess that wouldn't be ranked then, because you're not being ranked. Anyways,
there's casual mode, but I don't believe, I have not played in casual mode for literally ever. It's been years, so I think I don't think that you can get your quests completed or gold in casual mode, but I can't remember. I know you can in Tavern Brawl, but I don't know if you can in casual. Sure.
No, well, Kissy Bear is in the chat room, which kudos to him or her for getting me to say that on air. People probably won't ban Diablo, but you shouldn't play Hero League unless you're comfortable on two heroes in each role at least. You need to be willing to fill in Hero League. That's a good point, and I don't know if I could name off two characters per role. So you've got your Warrior, obviously your Diablo. I think I could play Diablo
or ETC. I would be comfortable with either of those. Really, in terms of, like, the Warrior role, like the big tanky guys, I'm pretty comfortable in that space.
Okay.
I can also heal, and I can heal on Brightwing, Lili, or I'm not as good at Brightwing. Like, my go-to would be Morales, but I could Morales, Lili, or Brightwing.
I also get pretty hard banned, I think.
Yeah, probably.
She's pretty hardcore. But yeah, I'm with you there on healers like Lili and Morales. I don't even think I have Brightwing, which Barbara's going to be upset to hear that. But is Stitches a specialist. Oh, he's a tank. Okay, well, I could Stitches and Diablo. And so you've got your assassin, which I guess Tracer would be an assassin. I'm okay with her.
I feel like Assassin is probably my weakest point.
I'm trying to think of other ones that I use. I have Zeratul, but I don't think he's leveled up enough to go into Hero League. But then you have your specialist, which I think Sylvanas is a specialist.
Yeah, she is. I get Sylvanas, but I don't know if I have a backup to Sylvanas specialist.
Obviously, we're probably forgetting, like, the way they've ranked some of these heroes is kind of hard to remember just without reference, but I could have probably Lunara as well.
Lunara's an assassin.
Yeah, okay, well, there's another assassin. I think that's a good point, though. I'd have to look at that and see, but that would be probably interesting in our first placement match. It's like, well, our picks have been banned, so we better learn to play. So that'll be interesting, but I'm looking forward to the revamp, because I just need, now that I've gotten this itch for heroes, I know I'm gonna get it to a point where I'm just running on a treadmill. I'm having fun with friends, but outside of having fun with friends, it's still just this progression treadmill in which I would love a tastier carrot, and it sounds like we're getting that with this revamp. So if I'm excited, I can only imagine what some other shows on the A-Move Network, like, they are probably frothing at the mouth.
Yeah. I think there's been a need to change the rank system for a very long time. So season one should have come to an end long, long, long before this.
I don't even call it season one. It's like preseason, right?
Preseason or whatever. Yeah, exactly. So I'm excited for changes to the ladder. I think it's going to be really cool. And I'm sure if anyone is interested in more in-depth, like more educated heroes conversation, you should definitely go and check out Into the Nexus with Garrett and Kyle. Kyle, I also had on Joss versus the World. And man, that guy knows so freaking much about heroes. It's insane.
He's super smart. They're both super smart.
He's super smart in general, but then just the amount of Heroes knowledge he has shoved up in his head, I'm just like, you must just live and breathe this game. Like
shoved up in his head. Like, yes. That's how he stores things. He just shoves them up.
And that's how he learns. He literally just takes books and just shoves them right in his head.
It's like reverse mummification. Osmosis? Oh. No. Definitely we're going
it's
in the same
extreme,
direction.
It's like extreme osmosis. Isn't that where you learn by just touching something? Yeah, no, he doesn't just touch it. He just absorbs
the whole
thing.
Well, osmosis is when
you
absorb nutrients through touching, I think.
Yeah.
It's what plants do. Also, there's Osmosis Jones, which is a hit cartoon.
Yes.
Probably has nothing to do with what we're talking about, though.
No.
So what have you been playing? I see this cool game that you have listed.
Yes. So, okay. This new game literally just came out yesterday. It's called Mirror's Edge Catalyst. It is a, I guess, successor to Mirror's Edge. And I've got to say, I never played the first one. This is something that Matt pre-ordered way, way long ago. And so I saw him play a little bit of it last night. So I sat down to play it today. Turns out, I'm terrible. I played for probably about, it was somewhere between like an hour and a half and 2 hours, and I could not get through the tutorial. Like, so bad. So bad. I could not get a hang of the first-person platformer view at all. I found it totally jarring, and I was just like, I couldn't do the wall run. Because you have to, like, run at the wall kind of, like, at an angle. And I would always think that I was at the right angle. But then when you're running on the wall, you can't really tell when it's time to jump off. And I was just like, this is what hell must be. This is, like, my own personal hell.
it's one of those games, yeah.
It's so unfortunate because I went and I watched the trailer afterward. Because basically, like, I was banging my head against the wall. I hated this game so much. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to put this down before I smash a controller and or the TV. And I'm going to do some research and see if it's worth me trying to actually get good at this game and make it through. And so I watched the trailer. It was so interesting. And I was just watching this trailer going, oh man, I want to see this story. I really think that this could be super cool. And then, I'm looking at this game and I'm looking at my experience and I haven't even gotten to any of the cool stuff, including, like, you know, any of the leveling up stuff or any of the customization or any of the exploration. I'm literally in the tutorial. And it's just like the loading screens are so long. And I would go and I would run. And this is literally my experience. Like, so, okay, this is the wall. This is Jocelyn running. Loading screen. Loading screen.
Oh, no.
Loading screen. Like, so bad. And I'm just like, I don't enjoy platformers really anyway. And then to put me in a first-person view so that I can't really see what's going on around me as well. Ugh.
Yeah.
And I am not saying it's a bad game.
Sure.
Because I have also, like, Matt's gotten further in it than me, and he has shown me some really, really cool things that you can do. So I am not by any stretch of the imagination saying that this is a bad game. I am saying that it is not something that I'm gonna spend any more time in because I just cannot get a hang of the controls. It's like you have to do movements up is like L1 and then like movements down is like L2, and for some reason just all of your movement being on one hand really doesn't work for me. But I'm so used to moving with left stick and looking with right stick that I don't think I could really turn those around at all. I feel like I lose my momentum because I must, like, when I push down on the trigger, I must lift up with my thumb or something weird. I don't know, but one way or another, I just can't wrap my head around the controls in that game. So there's a section that's like you learn all of the kind of basic movements, and then there's a section of combat, and then there's a section of training together all the different movements, and that's when you really start to die if you don't do it properly. Like, they're really forgiving at the beginning of the tutorial, because if you fall, you don't fall far enough to die, and there's like a ladder or a pipe or something for you to climb up. So if you jump and then you fall, you can just keep doing it until you get it. Fine. But then as soon as you get outside of the kind of training center, then you end up just having to jump between buildings and stuff, and then when you fall, you're just like splat on the pavement. So,
right.
Chimera is saying, Josh, you might do better on PC with mouse and keyboard. Yes, I am playing on a PS4. So that's probably the difference. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the thing is, like, Matt ordered a whole ton of games. I can't even remember the whole story, but he pre-ordered stuff for like 3 years ahead of time. I think it was E3 special or something.
Yeah.
And so all this stuff was pre-ordered. Like, and it seems silly to spend the money on a PS4 copy and then also on a PC copy. Like, we should probably just spend the money on one.
Yeah.
So we have it on PS4. So
the game is
on PC.
Right. Yeah. I remember
the first one on Steam. I think it's one of those things that I looked at and was like, hey, this looks really fun and cool. I'm going to try it. And then never installed it.
It was really neat. Like, that game sort of, when it came out, was in an age where EA was trying, like, okay, we're not going to just do the same old, same old. This is our year of new IP. So they had Dead Space and they had Mirror's Edge. And I think they had another one that completely flopped. But Mirror's Edge was this game that was unique, and it was very, like, clean and crisp. And it was a momentum-based free runner. And the controls were really wonky then as well, because it's a first-person view, but you're also trying to control everything on your controller without losing momentum. So they had to, as opposed to some games where you can have that time to take your thumb off the stick and go elsewhere, you had to basically have your hands on all the proper buttons at the same time and then hit them as you needed them, which, in terms of coordinating, I was actually not very good at. I would often smack into things, get shot at, and promptly die. It was unfortunate. And I never beat the game because you get to a point eventually where you're just being slaughtered. And I didn't imagine that the sequel would solve that issue, but it sounds like the controls are still a little wonky.
Well, and like I said, it's me. I'm not fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not like some crazy, super awesome, amazing gamer anyway. It's not like I'm saying, oh, I'm amazing at all of the games and I just jump in and I know everything right away. So I understand that it's probably my failings as a gamer a little bit, but at the same time, I'm probably average. So if I sit down and spend 2 hours just trying to make it through your tutorial, there's probably some room for improvement.
And that's weird, right? To have this game come out these days, especially from EA, to have a game with such a barrier to entry. And I have not played it. I've seen some of the reviews for it, and I'm interested in it because I like the series, and I'm glad that EA is giving DICE another chance at this universe. But, you know,
the story looks super cool, and that's why I'm so kind of upset with myself and why I tried so hard, is because I was like, I really want to know what's going to happen. It's a really cool story about these kind of like underground people who are living outside of society. And the reason that they're doing that is because society seems to just be totally effed. The whole idea is that there are these mega corporations, and it is your duty as a member of the society to go work for one of those corporations. And if you don't work for a corporation, they throw you in jail. So, and when she gets out of jail or juvenile or whatever she's in, she is told right away, like, you have to find a job in 14 days. If you don't find a job in 14 days, then you will go back to jail. So it's an interesting concept, and it's very futuristic, and it's kind of a extreme example, I guess, of what could potentially happen when corporations end up with more power than anyone or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting universe, and the corporations are clearly not being held to any sort of accountability or ethics.
Right.
So to explore that storyline and that universe, I think, would be really interesting. And I really want to do it, but I'm so bad at the mechanics.
It sounds like one of those games that might be best just watched as opposed to played, if the controls bump in your face like that. And for those who are interested in trying Mirror's Edge, there's a couple of ways you can do that. EA Access has the free trial that you can play. I think it's the first... it's usually the first 10 hours of a game, but I would assume with a single-player experience, they kind of trim it down. So there is a way to try it. And also EA Access is going to be free starting Sunday for 10 days through EA Play, which is the E3 event that they're having.
Okay.
So I plan on trying it on Sunday and seeing what it's like, because I remember, again, I remember enjoying and appreciating what Mirror's Edge was, but not quite clicking with the controls, therefore kind of hitting that wall. So, and I believe that if you, it's just EA Access on Xbox that's free, but you can still pick up EA Access on PC and try it out if you're a PC master race like Jim, who is unfortunately against playing first-person shooters with a controller. There are instances where I will play a first-person shooter with a controller, like Halo, and have a blast. So, there you go. Take that.
All right, just a reminder to everyone that you can pick up some A-Move swag over at bit.ly/A-Move store. If you have a show on the A-Move network that you would like to support, you can head on over there and you can grab your favorite logos on some glassware. They look really freaking cool. Mm-hmm. There's coffee mugs, there's like bar glassware, like wine glasses and beer glasses and all that fun stuff. So head on over to bit.ly/A-Move store to support your favorite A-Move shows. That brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is the pre-E3 odds and ends. We've got leaks and rumors and stories. Of these I wouldn't even call these like leaks.
No, because they're not, yeah.
they're literally the companies just being like, well, here's all the stuff we're going to talk about next week, and you're kind of like, it's a couple of days away, why couldn't you just say, hey, don't forget to tune in next week?
Yeah, some of these are straight up leaks, but the ones that you're discussing, like Watch Dogs 2,
yeah, Injustice 2,
yeah, especially Watch Dogs 2, because it's like that is an Ubisoft property that is going to get a lot of screen time in the Ubisoft press conference. Mm-hmm. Injustice 2 might have like a trailer at one of the main platforms, but that's a publisher that's not having a conference, right? So mm-hmm. you can kind of see them putting it out there, but that one had some poster leaks, so they might have jumped ahead on it. But it's interesting in this sort of week before E3 where you have the leaks and then you have the people who are legitimately announcing products that are going to get overshadowed by two new pieces of hardware from two different companies, and finally the unveiling of The Legend of Zelda. So you can imagine that pressure to get out of that sort of spotlight that's going to be
the shadow.
Yeah, the shadow. Thank you.
I was like, no, they want to be in the spotlight, yes, out of the shadow.
Exactly. Nailed it. But I wanted to ask you, like, how excited are you of the fact that they might be unveiling a Skyrim remastering? Bethesda might be doing that.
This is like the most exciting thing on this list of stuff that has been kind of leaked or rumored or has been teased, I guess, is the Skyrim remastered. I was saying when we were setting up my shelf behind me, I don't know if you see, but I actually have these two here are the collector's editions from the last two Skyrims, the statues that have come with them. So it's a Skyrim dragon. I was putting it on the shelf and I was just like, man, we were listening to Skyrim music while we were doing all the lighting, and I was just like, oh, I want to get back into Skyrim so much, because I played the crap out of it on Xbox. I own it on PC. I own, like, the definitive, final, whatever version on PC. Mm-hmm. And I never actually jumped back into it on PC. And exactly, Leo, we are back to year one of Gamers.
It's happening.
I want this so badly, because I just want a fun Elder Scrolls game to play.
Sure.
And ESO didn't really do it for me. Skyrim, I know, was amazing. It's been long enough now that I would be totally fine just jumping right back into that from the start and playing through again.
Does it feel like long enough ago, though? I know it's like,
yeah,
that game.
Yeah, it does. I'm
like,
ready. My body is ready.
I don't know.
It's like 5 years ago. It was 2011, right?
It's weird. I honestly, like, I look at some Nintendo games that get re-released, and you look at the timelines for those, and most of the time it's like 10 plus years. But even then, it's still like, oh, I'm ready to play this game again. I cannot wait. Mm-hmm. But I look at Skyrim, and I keep thinking, like, I remember playing that game. I remember it. And this is nostalgia kicking in, but more of like the clouded judgment nostalgia, where it's like, I remember that game looking pretty good. How would they upgrade it for next-gen consoles? That's where I just need to see it and then be like, oh, yeah, there it is. And I remember really loving Elder Scrolls Skyrim. I don't know if my body can take another 120 hours in that world, even though it is one of my favorite games. And I mean, the fact that it was a game that sort of kicked off the show and seeing it come around full circle is exciting, just in the sense that, yeah, we can come back to it and experience it again. And did you beat Skyrim? Like, it was a long game. I'm trying to remember if we had even talked about finishing.
Oh, I did.
It. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. When we first started the show, I was doing the, I guess, challenge of completing all the achievements. Right.
You were trying to do all the I was trying to remember if you were trying to beat it.
So I only had, from the original game, I had 3 achievements left, I think.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So close.
I feel like I didn't do all of whatever the last expansion DLC thing was. I did the vampire one, but then I didn't do something else. And so that's why I say I would really like to go back and experience it from the start and just kind of weave that content in, instead of it being after I've already defeated the story. I'd like to do the side stuff along with the main story stuff.
I think if I were to play it again,
and I'd like to get every Skyrim achievement, but I don't want to go back and play on 360. I would like to play on PC, so I want to start from like nothing and go through and do everything.
Yeah, I'm just excited to, I think, just experience it again. Similar to Twilight Princess, like when that got announced, I was like, oh, it's all gung-ho to play it again. But really, it's just a matter of having a taste and then coming back to that well every so often until the next Zelda comes out. And I think this is a good stopgap until the next Elder Scrolls comes out, probably in like 2 years. So having Skyrim Remastered to sort of just revisit from time to time. Mm. And I don't think I'm going to go back to it and do everything. I applaud you if you want to go back and do everything. That's fantastic. But I think for me, I just want to kind of experience the main storyline and then maybe try some other paths that I never did in my first playthrough.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of a release date we get on this, because I feel like it's prime Skyrim time right now, because it's pre-Legion. I need something, because I'm burnt out on Warcraft. I need something to carry me from now until the end of August when Legion launches.
Well, they're saying that the leaked release date is November 23rd. So
yeah, so this means I would be playing on PC and, you know, not playing the remastered version, but the old version of Skyrim. Because launching in November is just...
There's going to be so much coming out.
I'm going to have so much else to do, exactly, that spending another, like you said, 120 to 150 hours on a game. I have close to 200 hours in Skyrim, I think, on Xbox. So that's not really something that I'm going to want to do come November. I'm going to want to do all the other stuff that's going on. So,
yeah, it's going to be busy. We don't even know. Like
right now is when I need something to do. So,
Exactly. This is the perfect time for these remasters to come out. I don't understand why they shoehorn it into the busiest time of year. And, you know, I get it. It's like close to the holidays. But if they just announced Skyrim Remastered is out right now and you can download it from the store.
Oh, if they pulled a Hearthstone and were just like, and it's available Thursday, I'd be like, oh, you are my favorite company of life.
Yeah, it just gives us something to play in the drought of summer. Like summer, there is literally nothing coming out from Nintendo. There's literally, I can't think of anything coming out for Sony or Xbox. We are waiting until September when we get our first sort of round of fall releases, one of which that got kind of leaked and is being detailed tomorrow, which is the expansion for Destiny, another expansion that they're doing. And that's leaving behind the old version, so no more Xbox 360 and PS3 updates for Destiny, which is kind of expected, but I'm sure there's some people who are going to be upset out there. But it's a Rise of Iron expansion, new area on Earth, which is kind of exciting. So it'll be really interesting to see what they have there, but it's got to be a lot to sort of wow me, because they kind of dropped the ball in the last expansion. Like, it started off really strong, and then they basically said, like, we're going freemium and we're going to have events and it's going to be great, you're going to love it and you're going to want to play all year, and it just fell so flat. So I'm hoping that they can do both. But from the sounds of it, I don't think they'll go there. I'll play for a couple weeks and then it's like, all right, shelved, and I'll come back later.
Yeah, Destiny was one of the ones that I never got into. We had that bad game night experience and I didn't really have a great time, and I've never really gone back to it. So I'm not excited about that, but looking at Watch Dogs 2, which was announced, this looks awesome. And this makes me want to go back and play Watch Dogs because, okay, so Watch Dogs, I don't even know. Hang on, I'm just quickly popping into the article. What platform is Watch Dogs on?
Watch Dogs was cross-platform, so PC, PS4, Xbox One. It's a Ubisoft title, so they will release it on... It was even out on Wii U, if you so wanted to play it.
So, yeah, when original Watch Dogs came out, I would have not had a next-gen... Or an next-gen. A next-gen console, but it would have been weird that I didn't pick it up on PC. I can't remember why I would have skipped over it, because I was watching the trailer for Watch Dogs 2 and it looks super cool. Yeah. And then so I went back and I found some like gameplay footage of just Watch Dogs, and I was like, man, this looks so fun. Because it's Watch Dogs, if you're not familiar with it, is basically like an open world hacky kind of a game. So you can hack into other people's phones, you're trying to hack into the larger electronic systems, the internet and all the rest of it. It looks really cool.
Yeah, the original kind of had this sort of... The main character was not likable at all, which is always an issue. Like, some of the most ill-received Assassin's Creed games are when a character is just an outright asshole that you just don't want to play, you don't want to interact with. And I think those are the ones that don't review quite as well, even though they are technically sound. But Watch Dogs 1 had that issue where the main character, Aiden Pierce, was just not very likable. And it was like a first shot at this new open world game from Ubisoft and didn't quite stick the landing. And I played a little bit of it and it's like, there's something there, but I think the 2.0 version of it will be better. And you look at the trailer, even the cinematic trailer and some of the gameplay footage of Watch Dogs 2, and they've moved it to... San Francisco, and it's very bright and it's very colorful. It's very positive and fun, even though there is like crazy stuff going on. And yeah, it just looks like a lot more fun than the original ever sort of proposed, because the first one kind of felt very, you're just going to kill a bunch of people and hack their phones, whereas this is like, you're going to have some fun doing this stuff. It's kind of it's kind of a mix between Assassin's Creed and Sunset Overdrive, which was like this over-the-top Xbox One game. But yeah, I'm excited. And the first game had some really interesting co-op slash party hacking type stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how well this one is received, to see if that stuff actually like really works out. Yeah, it looks really neat. And like Assassin's Creed, the sequel, if you look at the jump from Assassin's Creed 1 to 2, there was that like waiting period. They took a couple years off to sort of recombobulate themselves and then came back with a really great product informed by the first one. So I think that's probably what we're going to get with Watch Dogs 2. Same scenario.
Yeah. So the other sequel that we had that was announced was Injustice 2, which we mentioned a couple of minutes ago. I remember playing Injustice for probably like a week. Yep. And never really went back to it. What about you? Did you spend a lot of time in there? Because this was definitely a cinematic teaser. We didn't see any kind of gameplay. It just basically talked about the heroes being thrown into the pit and evolving. And there was a lot of armor.
Which addition. Didn't make much sense.
Like,
oh my God, I'm getting beat up. Now I'm going to have this weird robot shit come all over my body. And it's like... That is not the show title.
No, that can't be the show title. That'll be episode 56 all over again.
It's really weird. Like, where is it coming from? I can understand Batman because he's a gadget guy, but like Superman? I don't
know. The Flash?
Even the Flash.
I guess even the Flash kind of maybe, but it's weird that like if you had that extra robot armor.
Thank you.
Why wouldn't you just start the fight with the robot armor?
We have to power up the robot armor with your blood.
I see.
And the blood has to be on the outside of your body.
They did not make that clear in the trailer.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm here. Just to go over the nuances of an amazing CG trailer by Blur. I really enjoyed Injustice primarily for the story, because I really love those characters. And the story it was telling in between beat this guy up for 2 minutes was really cool. It was about Superman in an alternate universe where the Joker kills Lois Lane. Superman goes crazy and ends up like taking over the world.
Now.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I ended up beating it.
I don't think I ever made it through all of that.
Yeah, it's a really solid game and a cool story. So that's why I'm excited for Injustice 2, because I really appreciate those characters and I want to see the story that they're going to tell, because when Mortal Kombat X came out, it's the same guys, and they did a really good job with the story. So aside from the weird gimmick of the evolving suit thing around people, I'm looking forward to just out of the sheer, like, we need more good fighting games that I'm not into Street Fighter or the Tekken type stuff. Like, I don't like that. I'm more of a Mortal Kombat style person. Like, I don't really like doing the whole, like, remember this combo that's going to break your fingers, you know, and combo breakers. And I tried the Killer Instinct, and it's just not for me. It's just too, it's too difficult. It's too technical. The same issue with Mirror's Edge, right? It's just too much, and I just want to enjoy myself. And with the Mortal Kombat games, you really can do that. It looked like the only new hero they showed was Supergirl. I think Supergirl popped up there for a few seconds.
Supergirl was definitely in it, but who was the other big muscly dude that, like, wasn't wearing a shirt?
Oh, that's Aquaman, I think.
What? Is it?
I'm pretty sure it's Aquaman. He had the trident. You see the trident? And he had the blonde hair.
I thought it was, like, a big hammer. Maybe I need to go back and watch it again.
I can see where you might have saw the hammer, yeah, because it's kind of like, also, really, the trailer is, like, mostly shrouded in, like, darkness. Is that just a way to, like, save on your CG bills? Like,
it was really hard to tell. It was a very dark trailer.
It was like, what's going on? And why is, like, I can understand Batman fighting in the dark. They were talking about some pit. And was that the actor in the background talking? It sounded like a familiar just actor in general, but now I can't place him. It was like a Bryan Cranston or some gravelly voiced person. Maybe Mike Ehrmantraut from, I can't remember, like another Breaking
Bad.
Now
I really have to go back and watch it, because I'm just like, all of this shit went, like, way over my head.
I might have read into it a little bit too much, but I'm just so excited because E3 is next week, and, like, this time next week, we're going to be talking about a whole other just amazing list of games that we don't know anything about, hopefully. So, you know, we don't have anything, like, concrete from Microsoft or Sony in terms of new surprising announcements. Nintendo, obviously, there's going to be no surprise there besides what the hell Zelda is.
Yeah.
But, I'm just really excited to see what this year's E3 has in store, because I don't know anything about the release schedule for this fall. Like, what is coming out? Please help.
So just a reminder to everybody, our E3 live stream plans are, we are going to be streaming live on twitch.tv/JossPlays, and we are going to be doing a kind of over the announcement discussion kind of live, what do you even call this?
Like a, I don't know, like a live commentary.
Live commentary, I guess. Okay, so yeah. We're going to be doing a live commentary over top of the announcements. So we've got Monday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be covering Microsoft. Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be covering Sony. Tuesday at noon Eastern, we're going to be covering Nintendo. And then Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/AMoveTV, we're going to have our TGI E3 wrap-up. So we've got Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo covered, and then we're going to do our wrap-up on Wednesday night. So I'm really excited. It's going to be a lot of TGI content for you guys next week, and that is all free. But if you would like to support the show, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thegamersin. All of our patrons help us to do our game night on Thursdays, which is actually our next Patreon goal. We are just shy of it. So what Ryan and I are going to do is, we're actually doing a short stream tomorrow starting at 8 p.m. and we're going to do a placement match or two in Hero League. And it's going to be shortened because I'm going to the Warcraft movie. Yay, Warcraft movie. Yeah,
and I'm going to be jealous because I don't get to go probably till Sunday. I'm going to try to fit it in. I mean, well, I already know everything that they're announcing for Bethesda, so I guess I don't really need to worry about watching that live, right?
Exactly.
Perfect. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so tomorrow night, twitch.tv/JossPlays, we're going to be playing some Heroes, just Ryan and I, and that's going to start at 8 o'clock, so it's probably going to be pretty short. We're going to get one in for sure, possibly two. I have literally no idea how long queues or games are in Hero League. Don't know. So make sure you tune in for that. Again, if you'd like to support us, that is patreon.com/thegamersin. So we got some listener feedback this week. Ryan, do you want to take it away?
Yes. Janice emailed in on the subject of Fable Anniversary, saying that she downloaded on Steam, she likes it, and she wants to thank us for the recommendation, but then closes off with, now I need to find the crazy cat lady. Is there a crazy cat lady in Fable Anniversary, or did we lead her astray? I need to know.
I don't know. The crazy cat lady is from the Fable card game, which is based on the Fable universe. So there is a crazy cat lady somewhere in the Fable universe, but I cannot remember which game it was from, whether it was from Fable, Fable 2, or Fable 3. So there is a crazy cat lady somewhere.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if Fable, how Fable Fortune is doing. I did not back it. I meant to actually look into some levels to see what was worth. It's short, 200,000 pounds still needs in 20 days. So hopefully it can see that that goal hit. But
yeah, I'm just going to it now. Yeah, they're only at 50,000 pounds. So
That's unfortunate.
But they still have 19 days to go. So I would really like to see this become a thing, obviously, as a fan of computer card games.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and I guess they just unleashed the alpha for some people that are backing it. I think it's at the $100 pound level, so I don't know if I'm...
The $100 pound?
Yeah. Oh, the 100 pound. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, no. Me and my Canadian bias. It would probably end up being, like, what, $150? How does pounds work?
More than that. Pounds, yeah. I think, are worth almost twice... twice what the American dollar is worth, so...
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we won't be going anywhere near that 100-pound level.
That's some heavy coinage right there, so...
Let me Google that for you, Ryan. No,
yeah, Google it for me, live on the air. I want to know how much it would cost.
I just Googled Google.
Oh, dear.
Whoops.
Yep, it's fine. Don't worry about it. What happened when you Googled Google? Did Google just come out and kind of Google... I don't know.
Sorry. I guess the British pound is not doing as well as I thought. It's only 184 Canadian dollars.
Oh, well, that's not too bad to play Fable 3 months early.
So then what is it in American dollars then? They must be...
it'd be...
145. So the pound is still better than the dollar, but not nearly as good as I thought. It's like one and a half times instead of two and something times.
Well, I think it works in proximity to the queen. So the closer you are to the queen... the more your money's worth.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. That's how it works.
All right. So that's going to do it for us tonight. Thank you, everyone, for watching us live. Again, it is at twitch.tv/amovetv at 8 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday night. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on amovetv along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at Joss Plays. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/amovetv. I am a couple of weeks behind. I really apologize. I've had some issues with recording, but we have now downloaded everything from Twitch, all the replays, so I just have to edit the intros in, and then they will be up. So look for that in the next couple of days. We'll have 220, 221, and 222, assuming that the recording has now worked. So all of that will be posted up on youtube.com/amovetv.
Sweet.
Very, very shortly. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you're excited about for E3, please do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Blech. Let me try that again.
So
just the email, and it's really, really important. It is info@gamersinpodcast.com.
Nailed it.
Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. And remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.